أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بالسنة إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، الحمد لله، we finish yesterday سورة بني إسرائيل، سورة إسراء، and today we're going to start with the 18th سورة of the Quran, سورة كهف. The surah is named after a cave. And I won't go much in detail of the beginning part because I did that last year about the people of the cave. But I just want to touch a few points about it. First of all, the importance of this surah is very humongous in the sense that especially we, as the scholars say, that we Muslims of current day are living in the time of fitan. Fitan is literally or linguistically translated means trials and tribulations. We're living in a time of fitna or fitan in the sense that every step and every stage of our life right now as we speak is engaged and engulfed with problems, difficulties. And problems and difficulties not just on a personal level but problems and difficulties on a religious level. You will see that gradually and gradually it will become even more tougher and tougher and tougher to practice our deen, Islam. And that is the linguistic meaning of fitan or fitna that the Prophet ﷺ said 1400 years ago. And he said that if you live to a time that you see Dajjal, the Antichrist, or Dajjal, the false Messiah, the one who would come, he's one-eyed and he would come. He's a human being just like us. But he has a beast-like features, very hairy kind of, as the descriptions are there in the hadith, we can't go in detail, but just giving a synopsis of this. And the Prophet ﷺ said that أَشَدُّ الْفِتْنَةَ عَلَى أُمَّتِي الدَّجَّالِ, the most difficult and hardest trial and tribulation on my ummah of Muhammad ﷺ is Dajjal. In fact, he said to the Sahaba that people of my ummah should not long for a life to live, meaning not have an aspiration to have a life to live, to see Dajjal. Like sometimes, you know, kids, they're kids, they say, you know, I want to live long enough, I want to see Dajjal. I've heard so many things about Dajjal, I want to get an autograph. That's how kids are, young, naive, innocent. They don't know what is this. This is like reality of Iman testing. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, on his forehead will be written the letters in Arabic, Kaf, Fa, and Ra. Those of us who learned Arabic language, what did we say? That every Arabic word comes from three root letters. And what are these letters saying? Kaf, Fa, and Ra? Kafara. Kafara. He denied, he rejected. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that the most toughest and gravest test of my ummah will be Dajjal. And to prepare to save yourself from that, read Surah Kahf every Friday. And if you can't read the whole surah, at least read the first 20 or 10 ayats. And if you can memorize the first 10 ayats, as the scholars say, even so better, that you keep repeating those 10 from Friday morning after Fajr till Friday up to night. And the Prophet ﷺ said that this is a remedy, a cure, a process of preparation against a disaster. If you remember a few nights ago, we said that Nuh alayhi salam was building the ship. You know, Allah told him ahead of time, way ahead of time, start building a ship. People used to come and make sarcasm and make fun of him. What are you doing building a ship? Because they didn't know, but Nuh alayhi salam knew. In the same way, I'm not saying that we are prophets, but we are followers of the last and seal of prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He warned us and forewarned us and told us, look, if you live a time on this earth where you will see Dajjal, then start preparing for Dajjal, not when you hear that he is on earth, but way before that. And if you die before he comes, fine, you get the ajr of reciting the surah, don't you?
Yes.
And the other thing, as the scholars say, that if the parents decide and their children live a time, then they will also have, it's like an immunity device. Immunity from disaster, devastation. Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, read Surah Kahf and you will be protected. You will have a screen, a shield, a defense mechanism from the mesmerization and attack of Dajjal, because Dajjal will be given such powers by Allah. Because again, the people ask, why does Dajjal have such powers? Well, Allah will give him and give him purposely to test. Because this, that's why the Prophet said that the biggest test on Iman of Tawheed is Dajjal. That he will be standing in front of you and give the claim, I am God. I can do things. And people say, okay, oh yeah, prove it. Get my grandfather out. Boom. And his grandfather's right there. Oh my God, that's my grandfather. I never met him. I only heard about it from my father. And you start meeting and hugging and kissing, and he will do that. And people will begin to have kufr. Such is the treachery of Dajjal. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ gave us a huge definition. And then Surah Kahf, if you look at it, why? Let's go to the depth of it, the wisdom behind it. That why did the Prophet ﷺ, being a surgeon general, being a doctor, a physician, why did he prescribe a medicine of a surah to protect from a fitna of Dajjal? If you look at the ingredients, because when you break up any medicine, you look at the ingredients. Dajjal talks about the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf. Surah Kahf talks about, see, this is how dangerous Dajjal is. He even makes you falter on your tongue and stomach already. Because he's alive. As the Prophet ﷺ said, he is alive. He's not dead, he won't be created. He's created, he's alive. But he's chained. He's restricted, harnessed. And when the Allah's order comes, the chains will break open, the shackles will be loose, and the disaster is on the rampage. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ also said that if you get the news that the Dajjal is loose, it's like from the jungle or from the zoo, the lion is loose. And what people do? Let's run, shirara, shirara. But sometimes, you know, people use that in a light way. Oji, shirara, shirara, shirniya. Pebble of his. When the shir really comes, people don't trust it. And here Allah is saying that when the thing comes, move towards Mecca and Medina. Because Allah SWT will send, some narrations say, we don't know if it's already authentic, 70,000, and some say a huge number of angels will be stationed, like armies, you know, of human armies of angels will be stationed around Mecca and Medina to ward off the Dajjal. He will not have the penetration. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the Hadith Riwayah that if you live a long life to see on this earth the Dajjal, hear about him wherever you are, whether in China, in Timbuktu, on Gibraltar or Green Island or wherever you are, rush to Mecca and Medina. Now it's up to you whether you get the visa or come over there or not. That's a different issue. As long as you have Surah Kahf, you will get the visa. Okay, the consular in the embassy cannot stop you. This is what we mean. Surah Kahf, keep reading. And he said, because all the other places in the world, the Dajjal will have authority to move around, roam around. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ said that time will no longer be bounded for him. You know, today for us, time is bounded, restricted. You want to go from here to China, it takes you at least 20 hours at least. The fastest jet plane you can get to go from here to China, it still will take you about 18-20 hours. The Dajjal could be 1 hour, last hour in China, the second hour right here in Bhutan. This is, it is fitna. That's why the Prophet said, that's why don't take it lightly. Don't take it so easily. The Dajjal is really, really dangerous, lethal, treacherous. And that's why he said, the way you can develop your immune system is Kahf. Why? Because in Kahf, in Surah Kahf, the Waqi'ah or Qissa of Ashabul Kahf, people, Kahf means a cave. They lived in a cave for how many? 300 plus 9 years. And then there's the qissa of Khidr and Musa, alayhis-salam, okay, that Allah SWT is showing his authority, that he can give his knowledge, his ilm, not just to prophets, but to someone who is not a prophet, and he has ilmun ladun, direct knowledge. As he says in the ayah you must have listened today, ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. That is, when he gives the explanation to Musa Islam, why I did this 1, 2, 3, I did it because Allah told me to do this. And Musa Islam was baffled that I'm a prophet of Allah, I have a book, Torah, and here's someone who's more knowledgeable than me. But the lesson of wisdom was there, that don't undertake the thinking that only prophets of Allah have the authority. Anyway, so we have the qissa of Khidr and Musa and the ajaib, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that had my brother Musa and Islam did not hasten and rush, then we would have learned more and more, because Khidr ﷺ was ordered by Allah to keep informing. He would have continued and continued until Musa ﷺ stopped. But he said, إِنَّكَ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرِ. You must have listened to that ayah today, it was repeated 3 times. He kept saying, you have no patience to be with me, you have no patience to be with me. And the other thing why we see Surah Kaf is very vital in terms of vitamin to build our immune system against Dajjal, because it talks about Qiyamah, Akhirah, hereafter, next life, as if strengthening and boosting our Iman. And then also it talks about Dhulqarnayn, the man is not the man with the two horns. Okay, Qarn means a horn, Qarnayn, two, Dhu means the one who possesses. We learned that in the Arabic book too, right? Dhu, Dhulqarnayn. Okay, and he lived on this earth long time ago, and he did a great big job. He sealed, like soldering with an iron bolt, he sealed two kinds of people, Qawm, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog, Magog. And these are also people, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the other signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of the Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ said, from amongst the major signs of the Day of Judgment is Dajjal, is Ya'juj, Ma'juj, is the beast that will come from the middle of the earth and talk to the people, speak in their language. And also from amongst the major signs, the sun coming from the west, etc., etc. And the Mahdi, and Isa a.s. coming back on earth. By the way, guess who's going to kill Dajjal? Our beloved Prophet Islam informed us that his brother who came before him, Isa, who is left with an unfinished job. His job is to come back again on this earth, and we'll be talking about more in Surah Maryam about it. The other thing we see in Surah Kahf that gives us strength and courage is the qissa of Ashabul Kahf. When you keep reciting, that's why he said even if you can memorize the first 10 ayahs, 20 ayahs, because the first 10, 20 ayahs talk about the people of the cave. And one, I just want to share one ayah, because last year I went in detail, and just today I went through in Budlik, so we will have the series available for that. We don't want to repeat again the same thing I said over there. But one ayah that I didn't say over there, but I kept it for Buntan people, is this one, number 14. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَالُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنْ نَدْعُوَ مِنْ دُونِهِ إِلَٰهَ لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He made a rabt. Rabt is an Urdu word also, tying it, like a knot, sealing something. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those people who take the kalam of Tawheed seriously, and who fulfill their trust and commitment to Allah, those people who are munjamid, who are attached to Allah, sealed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pact and agreement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wraps their heart, wraps it round, covers it up, in a good sense. رَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ. Why? Because this heart, the word heart in Arabic is qalb. Qalb means to sway and wither and shiver and have a unsettlement kind of feeling. The intrinsic feeling of the heart is that it sways in one direction or another. In order to make it strengthen and strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we make a tie. We make a rabt on it. Rabt of Tawheed, rabt of Iman. رَبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Why? Because when they got the strength, in inner strength and the stamina and courage, إِذْ قَامُوا, they got up. Stand up for justice. Stand up against totalitarian, authoritarian, aristocratic. Stand up against capitalism. Stand up against everything that is against the teachings of Tawheed. And they were fighting a tyrant who was oppressing them and not allowing them to follow the Tawheed. So now what did they do? They reached, they soul searching, and they reached Allah, and Allah saved them by putting them in the cave and ordering such a miraculous way that they had no eating, no drinking, and they were sleeping. Sleeping for such a long time, 309 years. The message Allah wants to drive in our minds, that look, no matter how much the dunya has fitna, no matter how difficult it becomes for you to practice your deen, remember the Ashabul Kahf, how they were able to practice their deen. Even if they're sleeping, so what? They're still Muslims. And they're practicing. But because of their mujahid, because of their effort and hard work during the city life, Allah gave them the miraculous sleep for 309 years. Did not let them die. Let them live alive with the sleep. To prove it, that you can have immunity against fitna, only the criterion that we should have is the rabt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same word is used also in Surah Qasas for the mother of Musa al-Islam, when Allah SWT told her to put the son in the box and put the tabut, the sunduq, the box in the river, in a maa ke dil hai thoda sa bechain ho gaya. I mean, it's the heart of a mother and the love of motherhood. Obviously, it made the heart sway a little bit, a bit concerned. Arey, mera beta chala gaya, lagte jagar chala gaya. So Allah SWT says, وَرَبَّتْنَا لَوْلَا رَبَّتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. Allah SWT says, وَأَصْبَى فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا لَوْلَا رَبَّتْنَاهَا. The heart of Musa alayhislam's mother became farigh, void, vacuum, khali, emptied. Emptied in the sense that the love of son made her concerned that she, in care to thee, Allah SWT says, she was about to tell the people, my son, get him back. لَوْلَا رَبَّتْنَاهَا. رَبَّتْنَا, Allah SWT says the same. Had we not wrapped her heart, sealed her heart, protected her heart, and meaning give her enrichment and fulfillment and the enthusiasm and the strength and stamina and courage, she would have. Meaning the heart had become so weak in the love of motherhood that she would have exposed the big secret that Allah had covered in a box. A prophet of Allah alive in a box. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَبَّتْنَا, the word لَوْلَا, if we had not. Allah is saying that Allah does wrap our hearts. He's saying about two different people here in the Quran. And even me and you, our hearts can be having rabt with Allah's iman if we try to have rabt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the message of the day from this surah. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the other things why we can use this surah to build our immune system against Dajjal and the fitna. In verse 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينِ يَدُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِدُونَ وَجْهًا. Be patient. Have your soul be patient and persevering. With whom? مَعَ الَّذِينَ, with those people. Meaning, one person alone cannot survive the disaster. There has to be unity and collectivity. Allah is talking about unity and collectivism. Like we are here, alhamdulillah, we are in a room. Look at the attack of shaitan. It's being destroyed right now. You'll be amazed how much shaitan is making jaddujahad right now to disperse this gathering from the first day of Ramadan. But alhamdulillah, we have come so far, 14 days. Alhamdulillah, half of Ramadan is gone. And we have another half to go. So what are we showing? We're showing that in unity, Allah has kept the rahmah, mercy. In unity, Allah has kept the pleasure. In unity, Allah has kept the strength and courage. Which reminds me of the hadith of Rasulullah that he asked Allah SWT for three du'as. Two of them got accepted. The third one is also accepted, but with a condition. You must have heard that because a lot of the khatib in Jummah in Pakistan use this on the member a lot. But they just use it for storytales. What's the wisdom? The Prophet ﷺ asked Allah SWT, oh Allah, never destroy my ummah like the azab of the previous qawm. You know, the previous qawm, they had a disaster or earthquake or tufan or something, and they got totally destroyed. So Allah SWT asked, pleaded, look, this is the concern of our beloved Muhammad ﷺ, our Nabi. He was so concerned for me and you, living in 2004, that my ummati does not get destroyed by Allah's azab. And Allah granted, okay, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salam, we will not destroy your qawm like that. Second thing, Allah SWT said, oh Allah, don't destroy my ummah of Muhammad salam, for which he was so concerned. You know, he had a robe, didn't make robe like that. And that's what I said, if you remember last week, that if we want to be successful, we have to have the pain. We have to feel the pain of Rasulullah SWT, how much he pained for us. Because without pain, there's no gain. He had a robe. Allah SWT says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ, that I will come. It comes in two places, in Surah Shura and in Surah Shu'ara, poets, 26, it will be coming. Where Allah SWT says, perhaps, O Prophet of Allah, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Allah SWT says, perhaps you will go to the level of so much concern that you might lose your sense. Meaning he's so concerned, so much in his tension in his brain, in mind, that for his ummah, concern for his ummah, that Allah is saying, you might lose your sense. But don't, relieve yourself, O Prophet of Allah. We are here. Allah is showing the rogue, the thing that he had in his heart, the pain. And subhanAllah, the one who wants to be saved from the fitna of Dajjal and Ya'juj, Ma'juj, all these things, they have to have the same feeling inside. And that's what Allah's mother is saying here. That have yourself be with those people. I got sidetracked. The dua he made, that don't let my ummah be destroyed through famine, hunger. Yes, it is true, you might say, oh, there's famine in Somalia or something like that. Yes, that's a temporary test. But the ummah will not be totally massacred, destroyed as an azab, as a collective punishment. Then the third dua, which is the most vital. He said, O Allah, don't let my ummah ever be become maghloob by the enemy of Islam, enemy of Allah. This is the most vital dua, the most vital part of this whole dua. First two, Allahumma granted right there and then. The third one, Allahumma said, Ya Muhammad, this is the Hadith Qudsi, is replying, Allah is directly addressing the Prophet, that I will not let your qawm be devastated, destroyed by an aduwan, siva min anfusihim. I will not let your qawm of Muhammad alayhi salam, be destroyed by an enemy from outside, except from the enemy within. Siva anfusihim. That let your qawm be known that there is an enemy within, which is what? Disunity. Bickering, fighting amongst each other. He's that, he's this, he's that madhab, he's this madhab, he's that maslak, he's this maslak. Let's get rid of this. It's time to unite, it's time to be one and face the enemy on the other side. Allah's mother is saying that the ummah of Muhammad is Islam, if it becomes disunited, it loses the immunity that was granted in this dua. Dua of Rasulullah. Allah said, yes, your ummah will have immunity against the enemy of Allah, enemy of Islam, enemy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It will have the immunity against them, provided they remain united. Where are we today? Muslims in America, Muslims in Bhutan, Muslims in Burma, Muslims in China, Muslims in Malaysia. Look at it, we are scattered. We are totally, like the body parts, the limbs have been cut off and thrown and desecrated. That now everyone can pick and choose any limb and eat and chew on it, like a bird coming down. You take a human body, chop it up into pieces and scatter it, throw it like the chara of the animals. This has become the plight of the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, unfortunately. And it's time to invigorate ourselves. It's time to take this charge in Ramadan to the next level. That we will not be baffled and thwarted backwards by this. This is a dua of Rasulullah ﷺ. And it is a maqbool, it's accepted, it's tijab, Allah answered it. But look, he put a condition. And we are so naive that we don't understand this dua. We keep listening to it from our scholars and yet we fight on even a small basis. Brother to brother, father to son, son to mother, cousin to cousin, uncle to uncle, family feuds. We are missing the bigger picture. And Allah SWT is saying in this ayah, wasbir nafsaka, have sabr. Because you will not have a healthy life, you will not have a smooth life. Differences will arise, disputes will come, disagreements will happen. What should you do then? Wasbir nafsaka, be patient of your nafs, make your nafs patient. Wasbir nafsaka ma'al ladhina, with those people. The word al-ladhina is ismul mawsul, which means those people. It's referring to someone who, ma'al ladhina yad'una rabbahum, those people who call upon Allah. They call, supplicate, invoke Allah. When and where? Yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal ashi. Why? Yuriduna wajh. They call upon Allah in the day and in the night. Why? Yuriduna. They desire. They aspire. They have this inspiration. For what? Yuriduna wajh Allah. They seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is meaning they seek the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They want to have this rabt, the same rabt concept. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَيْكَ. Don't let your eyesight turn away. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَيْكَ عَنْهُمْ. Don't let your eyes turn away from them desiring the materialistic world. Zinatul hayatul dunya. The zina of this dunya. Why? What is the meaning in a layman's term of this thing? Is that, you know, those people who are very religious minded, dini mahal, dini environment, very religiously oriented, want to do something, go to lectures, go to seminar, go to conferences, want to educate their kids, want to have a nice environment in the house. People cut away, isolate, cut off from them. Ah, this is not our group type. They're backward people. Look, their wives have hijab and naqab. Oh, look at them, they have always wearing this kind of attire. This kind of derogatory feeling which is instilled by the shaitan khabis, lanatullah alayhi, because shaitan doesn't want the unity to remain. And what did we just say in that hadith? The Prophet ﷺ said, if the ummah remains united, Allah has granted that dua. And here in this ayah, the disunity concept is being also repelled through what? Unity. So look, don't look down upon people who are calling Allah day and night, who are doing the work of deen day and night. And don't think that your intellectualism and your being a professor and being a double PhD makes you any better than anyone else. Because what is the criteria in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Al-Hujurat, he said, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most beloved And most mukarram, most respected of you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who has the most taqwa. Not the most degrees, not the most money, not the most cars, not the most houses, not the most children. Or not the nasab, from which clan they come from. From which tribe. SubhanAllah, I mean, we just found out recently that in Pakistan there's a new wave. Arayan would not marry Rajput, Rajput would not marry the Malik, Malik would not marry this. I mean, even marriages, we are so gung-ho about these little petty issues. That is killing the spirit of Islam. Spirit that has been discussed in this ayah. Regardless of your zaad part and things like that. Then what's the point of making Pakistan? We were just living there in that same Hinduism kind of concept. The Brahmin and the Achut and the this and that. The caste system that they had. We have imported that in Pakistan. And now we don't want to marry our kids for that. Even imported into America. That when somebody sends a rishta, this first thing they want to find out is the zaat and taqwa. They don't want to look at their taqwa, they don't want to look at their Islam. And Allah must say that don't turn away your eyes from those people that you feel that are religious and call upon Allah day and night. Why? Because you will be doing that for only one thing, materialism, financial networking, financial stability. Money is not the only thing Allah is saying here. Because what is He saying? Turiduna zinat al-hayat dunya. You love the zina of the hayat dunya. But Allah is saying that in taqwa is your najat, your success. Furthermore, Allah discusses in the Surah Kaf about the two people, Rajulan, Ja'alna li'ahadihima jannatain. There were two people giving gardens. One was a shakir person, and Allah gives the ibrah about that. And one was a very nashukra person, very unthankful person. So Allah took away all the blessing that was given to him. And then Allah discusses those stories in order to inform us that wealth and materialism is not the only thing. Shukr, like you remember a few days ago we said in Surah Ibrahim, Allah says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you give shukr, we'll give you more. Then in Surah also Kahf, Allah talks about two of the most precious things we have. الْمَالُ وَالْبَنُونَ زِينَةُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Mal and banun, wealth, money, assets, and children are the zina of this dunya. The glitter, the glamour, the attraction, the whole focus, centrifugal thing of this dunya. Well, that we have to salihah to khairun and rabbik. And the other things are khair and salihah. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that beware of these two things. They are an amana, a trust on you, ya bani Adam. O bani Adam, you have been given mal from your Rabb Creator to distribute and utilize it in the most appropriate fashion according to the Islamic guidelines. And if you become a spendthrift, like we talked about it yesterday in Surah Isra, or if you don't take it seriously and just mismanage money, then you'll be in trouble. In the same way, children, awlad, banun, are also a trust, a responsibility, an amana to you, or bani Adam. If you don't take care of your children and let them just, oh, ye pal bade jayenge, bas paida ho gaye, palne wala Allah taala pal jayenge. Hamara kaam bas inko rizq faraham karna. No, that kind of mentality has to go. The mentality is that Allah has given me this blessing. Ask those people who are countless couples out there who put this thing on the ground 100 and million times to get an awlad and they don't get it. Ask them the value of awlad. And Allah is saying that, look, your awlad are in amana, trust. Cuddle them, take care of them. And what? Take care of them how? Through the Islamic nurturing, Islamic adab, Islamic akhlaq, Islamic etiquettes, Islamic manners. Let them be true examples of the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi sallam. Not that you just live them, let them live around, roam around. Because even animals live around, roam around. Their parents, you know, the cats and the dogs and the lions and the calf and things, their parents also at least take care of them. But sometimes they're roaming around. We have a moral responsibility. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in insan, the ahsan taqweem. And that is what He's reminding us over here. Remember. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the qiyamah. One of the glimpses. It's like a visual picture of Qiyamah. وَوُضِيَ الْكِتَابِ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ. وَوُضِيَ الْكِتَابِ. The books are distributed. Those who are jannati get it from the right hand. Those who are going to Jahannam will get it from the left hand or from behind their back. And Allah says, when the books are given, you see the mujrimeen, the criminals, mushfiqeen, frowning, moaning. As soon as they get the book, they get that chill in the spine, feeling that, uh-oh, I'm a failure. I failed. Just like in the class when the teacher gives the papers out, and he's, oh, let me get my, what do you get, what do you get? And the moment you see people getting 90s, 80s, when they get their back, I mean, the facial expression says that they have really been successful. A class mein baatein shuru ho jaati hai, oh, iska to high, iska, iska. And the people who are 50s, 40s, don't even want to see, because the red ink is just telling them that it's not even worth looking at in front of the public, in front of my colleagues, friends in class. Just put it in your jail. Oh, jail mein rahe the, amma abba ko bhi nahi. When the parents go to the teacher, oh, why did you fail my children? Oh, you kabhi poocha aapne, dekha bhi hai. कभी आपने आइए आज पढ़ी अल्लाह अल बनी नजीनतुल हया की दुनिया, उनका ख्याल रखें. जब वो फेल हो गए तब टीचर, और टीचर पे आगे जाए उस किसी ने में चढ़ने वाले, तुमने क्यों फेल कर दिया. बच्चे से तो पूछे उसने क्या लाए नंबर ना सर से. इन द सेम कॉन्सेप्ट बुक्स आर गिविंग मुजरिमीन मुशफिकीन, यू सी द मुजरिमीन इन द डे, द क्रिमिनल्स, क्रिमिनल्स ऑफ अल्लाह हु वायलेटेड द कोड ऑफ कुरान, दैट दे आर वेरी वेरी सैड, डिप्रेस्ड, सॉरोफुल. وَيَقُولُونَ And they will say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا هَذَا الْكِتَابِ Oh, woe be to us. اپنے آپ کو لعنت بھیج رہے ہوں گے, اپنے آپ کے اوپر جو ایسی چیزیں کر رہے ہوں گے. Woe be to us. What is with this book? Means they are stunned and astonished with the book that is given to them. مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. That this book has not left a smallest, minutest atom's weight of thing, nor the biggest thing. Every single thing is there. Illa ahsa. It has a true accountability. Even chota ka chota. Agar aapne kisi ko jhadak ke khali kuch bola bhi nahi, khali shakal aise bana li, wo bhi likha ho. Insaan soche, ye to badi choti si cheez hai. Maine khali aise kiya, wo aise kar. Wo bhi likha ho. That is the mentioning Allah is saying that the mujrimeen will say, oh my God, even these little things are counted. Ab jo unke andar ho ji mar gaye, ab to barbaad ho. That's it, we're disaster. And that is what Allah is saying. And why in Surah Kahf? Because we read Surah Kahf to protect from Dajjal, so that we don't become people who are mujrimeen. Before Dajjal comes, we should be prepared. And that's why Ahwal of Qiyamah, the creations and the responsibilities are discussed extensively in the Surah. And that's why we're supposed to read the Surah on Fridays. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses from verses 54 through 79 about the qissa of Musa and Khidr. And I mentioned that in very detail last year, Ramadan, if you remember. So we don't want to go over it again because we have less time. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the qissa of Musa and Khidr, the main bottom line, conclusion, one point you can say, is the wisdom to show that there can be people who are more knowledgeable than prophets of Allah. And Allah can give His ilm to whoever He wants. It's a treasure, a kunz, a barakah, a blessing from Allah. Even today, if someone wants to desire, someone wants to get close and close to Allah, they have the ilm, not the ilm of ghaib, but they have the ilm of the treasures of the Tawheed, of Quran, things like that. And then, like I said, it mentions about Ya'juj, Ma'juj, Dhulqarnain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Dhulqarnain, إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَعَتَيْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا. We had established Dhulqarnain on earth and we gave him from all the resources and means. فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا. He certainly fulfilled his means and resources. حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَرِّ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَ تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ya'juj, Ma'juj, they were rampant on that earth. The good righteous people, they came to Dhulqarnain and said, oh Dhulqarnain, can you save us from these people? They're massacring us, devastating us, they're destroying us. So Dhulqarnain says, come and help me. فَعَيْنُونِي. Then come and help me. And what? Gather steel, metal, from all the parts. Because why? We're going to make a metal iron door to close it. And they were in the mountainous region. They went into that, you want to call it cave or tunnel, whatever you want to call it. And Dhulqarnain sealed it up. According to the riwayah of Rasulullah, he said that from that day onwards, till now, even as we speak, and till the day that they'll come out, every day they dig through to come to the door, and then when there's small amount left, they'll say, we'll come back tomorrow and finish this last part, and then we'll get out. And they've been doing this from centuries now. But the Prophet said that every time they forget to say, Insha'Allah. But on the day that Allah will them to come out as a sign of Qiyamah for the people living on earth, they will say Insha'Allah the previous day, and then the next day they will come, break it apart, and they will let loose. And when they come out, it's one of the biggest tests and fitna on earth. Because they will ransack all. We don't know when they will come, whether they'll come before Mahdi, after Mahdi, or before Isa, some after Isa. But we do know one thing, that they will come after Isa Islam, because the Prophet said that Isa Islam will be at that time, and he will tell his follower, I mean not his follower, but he will tell the Muslimin, because he will be part of them now, he will tell them, come and move to the mountain. and he will ask, invoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make supplication to Allah, and Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala get rid of them. And as the hadith says, that when Isa will come back down from the mountain, they will not be able to even traverse the earth, because there is no empty land. Every single spot, every square millimeter, forget square mile, square millimeter is filled with their body, and it's so stinking boring. Then Isa will again make dua to Allah, help us to get rid of these dead bodies of Ya'juj, Ma'juj. And then Allah will send as the riwayat tell us, they will send a big huge rainstorm that will wash away their bodies, and then Isa al-Islam will be with the Muslimin again. And then towards then Allah talks about kafirin, about their a'mal, that their a'mal, they don't get any jaza in akhirah, they get it right here in dunya, and their a'mal is like dust that will wither away with the passage of air, towards the end of Surah Kahf. And then Allah tells us about one of the qualities of Rasulullah. He says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ. O Prophet, tell them that I am a human being just like you, and it's been revealed to me that Allah is the one and only Allah. So, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Whoever wants to meet their Allah, meeting. The main thing about Akhirah, main thing about the next life is to meet Allah. And whoever has a desire to meet Allah, they will keep themselves strict. They will not go to right or left or any place. Then in Surah Maryam, we just finished with that very quickly in 2 minutes. The Surah Maryam is a Makki Surah. It has about 70 some ayats. And that's why, because it's a Makki Surah, you see the concept that is pounded again and again in the Surah is Tawheed, Wahdaniyah. And two of the main things that Allah SWT discusses in the Surah, obviously, the Qissah of Maryam a.s. And then also in this Surah, Allah SWT talks about the many other prophets, prophet like Idris, prophet Ibrahim, prophet Lut, prophet Musa al Islam, and Zakariya, and Yahya, and obviously Isa al Islam. Two of the main the Surah starts off with two miraculous births. One of them we know very well, the other one we don't tend to remember a lot, but it's mentioned there. The birth of Yahya ibn Zakariya al Islam. Because Allah SWT is saying over here, كَافْ هَا يَا عَيْنْ صَاد ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّ إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّ قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيَّ. Again, like I said many times before, that in the Quran there's at different mawaqi', at different places, the etiquettes of dua are mentioned. The ta'aleem of how to make dua mentioned. And here also, in the dua of Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam, Allah is giving us a wisdom, an eye-opening lesson, how to make dua. He's saying that, oh, O my beloved Allah, and he calls upon Allah, is nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. He calls upon Allah, khafi, meaning in a very light, meaning, Allah ta'ala, not shouting, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and like, andar andar ba, meaning attaching. Approaching Allah, that inner connection that only that person knows and Allah knows. Even the person sitting next to him does not know. What is this person? Who is he calling? As he dua, khafiyya, which has a lot of, because the ulama say that this ayah saying is that this kind of dua has a lot of ikhlas. And the one who is as a there comes a little bit of riya, showing off. Maybe people sitting around and say, oh gee, you bada mashallah muttaqi aadmi hai, you dekho Allah taala ko aise pukar rahe hai, bas Allah ke bande, thoda bahut usme riya ka hai. So that is what one of the etiquettes of dua is, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ajizi, inkisari, and khafi, khufiya taw bhi nahi, but khafi meaning in a very one-to-one light flow, not out loud. And then he says, one of the other etiquettes of dua, one of the conditions of dua to be accepted, قَالْ رَبِّي وَلَمْ أَكُنْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّي شَقِيَّ. And I am never despaired of your dua, O Allah. Meaning every time I make dua with full hope and expectation and high expectation that Allah will inshallah fulfill it. Because sometimes what happens for us, if we become weak Muslim, what happens to us? Oh ji, Allah kare dua hi nahi sunta ji, 2 saal se dua kar. Kya pata wo aapki shekh khair hi nahi hai, aapke liye shekh hai, isliye bhi mil lo. This is what we called about in Surah Yusuf, when the father of Yusuf, Yaqub al-Islam, said that don't ever give up. When you are connecting with Allah, when you're calling upon Allah, don't give up. Because this is a test. Sometimes the delay is a test. Ki yaar ye वाकई मेरा बंदा है या सिर्फ ऐसे ही मांग रहा है, बस जाहिर देख सके, जब मिल जाएगा तुझे भूल गए अब क्या अल्लाह कौन अल्लाह के दरस्ता And that is what Allah is teaching us in these two ayahs, the etiquette of dua. And then he says, "Inni wa hanil azmo, meri hadiyan bhi ab buri hogi, main budha ho gaya hu, mere mein itni taqat bhi nahi hai." Ek jo takhleeq, matlab ki ek jo bachcha hone ka jo ek taqat hoti hai, wo bhi nahi hai. Woh inni washtal awaz ushayi tha, mere baal bhi bilkul safed ho gaye, main to kahin bhi nahi, lekin meri khwahish hai ki mera ek bachcha. Aur ab bhi dusre chand ayaton ke baad phir kehte hain ki biwi bhi meri jo hai, to wo budhi ho chuki hai, ab us level se ja chuki hai jahan pe bachche ho. Honne ke jo age, Allah SWT said that we will give you. This is what Allah SWT said. No matter how old you are and how your wife is, Allah is proving a point right there and then that even the most oldest couples can have a children. Na umeed hi nahi honi chahiye. Zakariya Azam kabhi na umeed nahi hue. Give up nahi. Never surrender. Kept asking, asking, and like in Surah Anbiya, there was ayat aayi that used to وَكَانَ لَنَا رَحَبًا وَالْ Allah SWT said that they were for us. They were very, very pious, and they were very always looking, expectation, meaning intizar mein hamesha Allah ki taraf rujoo karna ki humne dua to ki ab kab, and that what Allah loves. That when you make the dua, do you just forget about the dua you made and you just go about your life and chores, or do you wait longing? Because isme jo lazzat hai na intizar mein, iski baadi bhi chahiye. Ye bhi adab-e dua mein se. And then he, Allah SWT was that he gave him Zakariya Islam, and he said, "What is my sign?" Because you know that for women their monthly time stops after a certain age, but when they are with hamal, that is also a sign to tell them, "Okay, I have hamal," and that's how they check. He is saying, Zakariya Islam is saying that my wife has gone above that age; she's much older. So how will she know that we have the hamal? So Allah SWT says that آيَتُكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَ أَيَّامٍ Sawiyya. And then in the other ayah that passed few days ago, Salasa Ayyamin illa Ramza. Your sign, O Zakariya, is to know that when you have the hamal, that you will see that you will not talk to any people for 3 days, except by sign, Ramz. Ramz meaning sign, sign language. And in this ayah, Salasa Ayyamin Sawiyya. Sawiyya meaning that you have no disease, no pain, no paralysis. It's not that your tongue has gone bad, but this is a sign from Allah that you will not be able to talk to them. And then when that sign comes, remember that now your wife is humming. This is the sign. And then also for Maryam al-Islam, when she said, how can I feel like this and this birth without a father? Allah SWT again said to them, that tell the people when they come to talk to you and ask you and pester your question, tell them, إِنِّي نَذَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ سَوْمًا یعنی سوم ہمارے جو سیام ہے کہ اسے کھانے پینے چلی باتوں سے بھی سیام ہو سکتا ہے as if Allah SWT is implying to us Ummah of Muhammad SAW that when you are fasting check your tongue what if you were told not to talk کتنی بڑی نعمت ہے کہ سحور سے لے کے افطار تک اللہ تعالی نے اتنی گنجائش پیدا کر دی کہ بے شک کھانے پینے نہیں کرو وہ کوئی اور چیز نہیں کرو لیکن بات تو کر سکتے اور ایسے بھی اقوام گزری ہیں جن کی باتوں کو بھی روک لیا گیا تو ہم میں روزے میں ہوں اور جب آپ بول دیں گے جی میں روزے میں تو لوگ کو کہا یہ روزے میں اسے نہیں بات کرنا کیونکہ ہمارے روزے میں باتوں کا بھی روزہ اور ہمارے امت محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم میں یہ فلیکسیبل یہ لچک پیدا کی کہ جی آپ بات تو کر سکتے امیجن اگر آپ سے یہ کہہ دیا جاتا کہ جی بات نہیں کرتے ذرا سوچ سکتے ہیں کیسے اس آیت پہ انسان اگر تفکر کرے ایک مومن جو ہے غور کرے تو اندر سے بالکل ایمان جاگ اٹھتا ہے ایک ایسا سا ایک اب اوکے دیکھو الفاظ نہیں ہیں بیان کرنے کے اٹس یو آر اسپیچ لیس اینڈ اسپیچ لیس مینس ٹائم از اوور واخر دعوانا الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاۃ والسلام